Folks, as you and I live from day to day, we understand something that is going on within our own heart and within our life. And that something is a real world out here. You're dealing with a world that you wish wasn't as harsh, but in reality, you know, not only is that world harsh, there are people in that world that would love to destroy you, especially if you are a Christian. We're dealing in a society right now and living in that society when we don't understand. We don't understand why our babies are being murdered and mutilated time and time again. We don't understand why people do the evil things that they do. But one thing I want you to understand is this. You're not alone in life. Jesus Christ has promised you, as he promised me, there will always be someone out there that will help you. Many times you can't help your own family. Many times, because of the situation in that family, you're unable to even talk to them about the Lord. And I've always encouraged all of our members, what you need to do is you go share then your heart with a stranger, with someone else. I guarantee you that God will take care of his part to see to it that your family member, your loved one, is going to hear the gospel. I focused a whole series here on dealing with faith. And this faith that I'm talking about is the faith that you and I have in Jesus Christ, in our God. You see, don't have faith in your faith, because we messed up on that one. Have faith in Christ, who gives you the faith, who is the person in your heart. When you're saved, that means you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What it does not mean is that you've joined a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is killing us. All of the garbage that is going on and the do or the don'ts. You know, everything that Jesus says when he's talking to your heart is, let me tell you what you need to do. You and I already know what we don't need to be doing. We didn't get sucked into that crowd or into the wrong group. We are the wrong group. We do it on our own. And God says, tell them about my faith that I will give to you. You know, see, faith is God's power through man. Faith is God working through your heart. And God says, here's what I want you to do. In my son, I want you to have faith. And he has promised you he'll take care of it. Now, as we've been going through the series, dealing with faith, we understood that, first of all, you begin with a dream. God will give you a dream about life. He'll give you a great dream about his calling for your life. Some people won't pay any attention to the dream. You see, Jesus says, I want to help you. I want to walk you through life. But you have to catch my vision, not your own. You and I have some dreams that, you know, maybe way out there. Well, I got news for you, folks. The dream that Jesus gives you is so far out there, you can't even imagine. Meaning, there's power. There's power in that vision, that dream for life that Christ gives you. He will never give you a focus on life that he will not give you direction in how to accomplish it. And on that pathway of life, he will always be walking with you. But now he's going to be on the path here that he's called you on. If you vary from the path, well, how do I get back? Go back to Jesus. Go back to the foot of the cross. Go back to your calling. Catch the dream. Not the dream of the world, but the dream of eternity. The dream of God will give us about hope, promise for today, hope for tomorrow. That's the dream. And letting us understand from within our own being that Jesus is in control and he will take control. He will direct us, but you got to trust him. You got to have faith that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. There's nobody in here or within the sound of my voice that doesn't understand what I'm talking about a dream. You may not know Jesus, but you know that within your inner being, there's a dream there. But the dream can only truly be accomplished. A dream that will last is only truly powered when you allow Christ to guide your life. After we got the dream, we understood we had to make a decision. You make a decision. Am I going to follow the Lord's dream that he's given me or not? It's a simple decision. Are you going to follow Christ or are you not going to follow Christ? Jesus says, here's what's going to happen when you follow me. And you know, when you start looking at that, because you'll see, okay, for Christians, what does it mean? All hell's coming against you. What does it mean? People of your own household are going to turn against you. Well, that's cheering me up. I really want to be a Christian, causing all that stuff. Not only that, the world is already against you. And God said, I want you to know, hang in there, make the decision. And as soon as you make the decision, Lord, I'm going to follow you, then you know what he throws out? Delay. Sit back and wait, Larry. Now, Larry never dreamed that he would send me to prison as a prison chaplain for all those years to prepare me as pastor of this church. I just threw that part in. Deals with personalities. God then uses our life and our experiences to put us in a place to where we are able to grab hold of that dream. We're able to make a decision to follow that dream. And during our delay period of life, we need to pray. Right after the delay is what I'm going to focus on today, and that is phase number four. Right directly after the delay, guess what? It's difficult. Difficulty. You open one door and the other one slams in your face. It's called difficulty. Do we really not want to grow in Christ? The only way that I can grow in Christ is through the difficult parts of my life. When everything's going good, it's easy to be a Christian. Oh, I've got, you know, my family, everybody in my family saved. Everybody's got plenty to eat. Everybody making good money. Everybody is doing this, that, or the other. And we throw that around, but you got a problem with that, folks. Your family's not everybody. There's a world out there that does not know Jesus Christ. There's a world out there that would love to hear the gospel preached without religion involved in it. How about preaching the gospel the way the gospel was delivered to us personally through Jesus Christ? As he empowers us through his word. John 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking. In this world, you will have trouble. I don't guess any of you are going to deny that one, right? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, people said, well, Jesus is in charge. Why do I have trouble? Jesus will never allow anything to come our way that is not going to help us to grow. All the trouble, all the trials, all the tribulations, they're there so Jesus can watch us grow. He has a plan for us, folks. And Christians, listen to me, please, from my heart. Do not count this world as all there is. I mean, we haven't even begun yet. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then it is Christ who will open up and let you see eternity. You're going to live forever. And as I often tell you, you might as well get along with each other right now, because you're going to put up with each other as a Christian from now on. I used that, well, I said that one time. I remember a man said, preacher, I thought I was going to heaven, not hell. Well, when God gives us eternity, you know what he said? Eternity is in the minds and the hearts of man. It's already, he said, count it as you're already there. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, now you and I, we have a ministry to take care of, the ministry that God has given us in our heart. You can't get educated into the ministry, but when you're called into it, you get all the education you can. It's a special touch by God saying, take my word. And as soon as it happens to you, what happens? All hell breaks loose. Satan doesn't want you telling about Jesus. And he will pull us off into poetry. Poetry's good. But only if it's proclaiming the truth of who Christ is. Not the man who wrote it. Not the human life. 2 Corinthians 6:4. Paul is speaking here. In everything we do, we show that we are God's servants. How? By enduring trouble, hardships, and difficulties with great patience. That doesn't mean you're not going to grumble. Having patience does not mean you're not going to sit in there and say, why me, God? There's that guy over there. I don't even like him. You could have nailed him with it, but you gave it to me. Why me, God? And if you really listen, you'll hear God saying, because of that attitude's exactly the reason I gave it to you. Think of it. Paul is saying, you got to remember, the church at Corinth was corrupt. Oh, gracious, there was everything going there. From prostitution at the altar to anything else you can name. And when Paul goes in, Paul cleans house. This morning I want us to deal and focus on how to deal with difficulty. I don't have to ask you all if there's difficulty in your life. If you're breathing in a human body, you got a problem. Okay? Number one, in dealing with difficulty, determine the reason. What caused this in my life? And don't say, she did, he did, they did, everybody else did. Determine the reason for the problem. Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. I tried to think this problem through, but it was too difficult for me until I went into your temple. Until I went in the presence of God. Now, I'm going to use the Apostle Paul here, but I've got to give you the setting of what's going on instead of just the scripture as we begin, focusing on difficulty. Apostle Paul, was born a Roman citizen. He was a Roman by blood. Therefore, in this time period, you would find that the Romans could never be crucified. You can't crucify. That's too vile. They'd be put to death, but not by crucifixion. So there was a different law, set of laws out there. It sounds like Washington, doesn't it? There was a different set of laws out there for one group and then the other group. Well, Paul gets into it with the local Jewish leaders. And the reason he's into it with them is because he's proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, that the Savior has come. And they said, Paul, you can't do that. Now, don't be telling that somebody's been raised from the dead. You can't do that. Well, Paul looks at them and he straightens them out on something. He says, look. Now, Paul was brilliant. He was smarter than all of them put together. God had given him that brilliance. And at the beginning, he was what he called himself, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, meaning he was top dog when it came to all of it. And his personality, as you would read him, he'd let you know that he was. But he was doing it in a good way. So they decided to get rid of him and charge him legally under Roman law where that he could be put to death for what he was saying, his preaching the gospel. And so as they're doing this, they bring him before the governor Festus and King Agrippa were there. But bring him before Festus, and they start laying out all of this stuff against Paul. And Festus or King Agrippa are looking at them, both of them, and thinking, he hasn't broken any laws. He's a Roman citizen. He hasn't broken any laws at all. And what they had said was this. Paul knew that God was calling him to Rome. Paul knew God was calling him to Rome. How's he going to get there? He had to go to jail. He was a Roman citizen, so what he does as he stands before the governor and King Agrippa, he says, I appeal to Caesar. Now, he's a Roman citizen. He had the right to appeal to Caesar. Once he said that, being a 100% biological Roman, then they had to send him. But the interesting part after that later, and we're going to deal with this trip, was both Agrippa and Festus look at each other and say, if he had not appealed to Caesar, we'd have turned him loose because there was no charge against him that could stand. So here we are. He's going to Rome. He had to go to Rome as a prisoner. Why? God's plan. And he was determined, even through the difficult time, to follow God's plan. So let's listen to the common mistakes that you and I make during the difficult period in our life. We ready? Common mistakes. We listen to bad advice. Paul is on the ship. All of the other ones are on the ship with him. All the other criminals and all. There are 276 people on board this little boat. They call them ships. Our day and age, we call them boats. Okay? And as they are loading up, Paul is telling them, boys, we need to stay in the harbor. Boys, we do not need to be going out. We're going to get in trouble. But they decided, the owners of the boats and the captain decides, we're going to sail because we don't want to be stuck here all winter. Does that sound a little like the Titanic that we might have known about? Think of this. So they sail, but listening to bad advice. Acts 27, verse 11. But the centurion, the guard watching over him, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Listening to bad advice will get you in the middle of an ocean of life in a boat that's sinking. Listening to bad advice will ruin your life. Listen to the advice from those you know to be godly. Those individuals that don't want to give you their advice are the very individuals you want to seek advice from. The ones who are hesitant on saying anything, put them in a corner. Because those are the ones who want to give you wisdom from the Word of God. People come and say, you know, it never anymore is can we work through these problems. It's always, Chaplain Vance, Brother Larry, would you please straighten my husband out? Or would you please straighten my wife out? How long you been married? 30 years. Forget it. There's no straightening going to happen on that one. It's both of us needing to get our head together and get our mind on who Christ is within our life and within our marriage and within our family. So the common first one is listening to bad advice. Here's the next one. We follow the crowd. The picture of sheep following other sheep going off a mountain. We follow the crowd. Acts 27, first part of verse 12. Since the harbor was unstable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. Folks, the majority will sink the ship. You live in a theocracy, meaning God in control, not a democracy in the Word of God. You do not have a right to vote out the Bible. You do not have a right to push aside the Word of the Holy Creator. It's a theocracy. I'm a Christian. Therefore, I am to listen to God, and He should be in charge. I know the one who created the sea. I know the one who allowed the tree to grow to build the boats. I know the one who said, trust me. Now, wouldn't it be wise advice for you and me to listen more to the one who did all the creating than the ones who think they know how to? Think of it. Next thing we do, we rely on circumstances. Listen to Acts 27, first part of 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. How many times you thought you'd attain what you wanted? You know, over the years, again, dealing with personalities and people and all, and, you know, oh, how much we love each other, how much we do this, and the first time something goes wrong, they're snarling and snapping at each other like little cats. What's going on? Don't rely on circumstances for your life. Don't think that because a good wind is blowing that it's time to sail. Sometimes when the wind blows, it's time you get in the basement or lock yourself in the cellar, not get out in the middle of the storm. God told us in His Word through Jesus, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, not crooked as a snake and dumb as a buzzard. Right? Wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. Meaning, no, have the wisdom of the world, but don't let the world control you. And don't allow each circumstance, oh, that must have been a God. Why are you saying that? Talk to God about it. He'll let you know what's of Him and what isn't. If it is not biblically correct, it's not a God. Okay? If it's not biblically correct, it's not of God. Next part is I want us to determine the results. Are we ready? Ask God this. What does God want me to learn from this difficulty? What does He want me to learn from it? Don't get so caught up in the problem that you don't see the lesson that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 4:17. These little troubles, which are temporary, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward all out of proportion to our pain. As He's saying, the more you stand for Him in pain, the greater the reward. Well, you know, and it's sort of selfish getting these rewards. Read your Bible. You will find at the end, all of those rewards we have, we will take that crown off. We will set it at the feet of Jesus. The rewards are to give to Him, and us recognizing Him through eternity that we received all of those things that we did, we received those because of Him, not because of us. Romans 5, 3 and 4. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time. Of all the battles in my life that I can remember going through, I've learned a lesson from each one. Even the 4 stabbing incidents from the criminals, I learned if they've got a knife, be a wise Marine and run, because you're going to get cut. So in every situation in your life, you remember this. Now, what is going to help us to determine our response to the difficult time? This is what you got to get. How am I going to deal with this? Quit griping about because you got it. Don't fuss because difficult times are there. Glorify God because it is God who is sharing with you this problem so that He can direct your life to where it needs to go. Now, if it gets too rough with the problem, tell God on it. He's quite capable of handling it. Determine our response. How should I handle this? Here are the wrong responses. I'll give you those first. You ready? The wrong response is to drift. Did you ever feel like that you may have lost a year or two in your life because you were in a haze? You were just completely, you know. Did you ever feel like you've ever just walked around in a fog? The others are lying. You know that. Every one of us deal with that in our life. You think, oh, man, I cannot believe it. It's just really, you say, it's just dawning on me. That's just dawning because you're finally waking up that you are still alive. You're not in heaven. You cannot serve God and not serve on earth. Folks, my calling is to promote and present the gospel of Jesus Christ in every area where God places me, whether it's prison systems or church. Doesn't matter. So therefore, I'm not allowed to drift. I'm not allowed to sit out there and say, well, I'll let God direct me to some church. Maybe I'll just drift along here and it'll head towards Hawaii. And we'll get us a church there and serve God. I would have never pointed the boat towards the prison. Right? Okay. Acts 27, the first part of verse 15. So we gave way to it, which was the wind, remember? And to it, and were driven along. Folks, that's a wrong response. Don't just be driven along. God created you to think, gave us a mind. He gave us a spirit to where our spirit will connect with his spirit. Next thing was to discard. Listen to Acts 27, first part of verse 18. They began to throw the cargo overboard. That's our response a lot of times. Well, I can't do this. It's too rough. Let's just get a divorce. I can't raise my kids. It's too rough. Send them out there. The state will take care of them. I can't do this. Listen, you need to go through a little Marine Corps boot camp spiritual. You Navy guys really have trouble with that, don't you? Think of it. We focus on life and then we deal with life instead of running from life. Acts 27:31. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Oh, listen to it, folks. Unless you and I stay with the ship, this ship, the Christian ship, was meant to sail. Unless we stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. And what hope does the world have if all the Christians abandon the ship? Who are we going to support to tell the world about Jesus when we are not even in his boat? The only time you get out of the boat from Jesus when he tells you to walk on the water and get out. Think of it. Are we not to be about our Father's business? Are you and I not called by God to stay in the boat when he says stay in the boat? And then our response is to despair. Oh, I guess God's not going to use me now. Shoot. I guess I'll just go back to my old ways. I gave God a chance. Acts 27, first part of verse 20. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Listen to that. This would be Luke, Dr. Luke doing the penmanship. Listen to that. Think of it. We gave up hope of being saved. Now, here's your right response. Confess your part. Folks, quit confessing the other side's part. Well, let me tell you what they did to me. Confess your part. Proverbs 28, verse 13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Folks, God wants to continually give us a chance. And he says, trust me. What's the problem? Our faith is in ourselves instead of who Christ is in us. Do not put faith in yourself because you're going to mess up. You're human. And as God looked to the heart of the human being, he said, I'm sorry I created man. And then he says later on, I now know that the heart of man is evil continually. Yeah, but I'm saved. Is my heart evil? Yeah, your old nature's still driving that body, isn't it? If you don't think your old nature is there, cover your nose and hold your mouth where you can't breathe. That's the old you there. That's in this body. Satan attacks the old nature. Even after you've been saved, he can't get in where Jesus is. And he doesn't have to. All he's got to do is attack the old nature, right? Okay. Here's, again, what you are to do. Confront the difficulty. Whatever it is, face to face, deal with it. Acts 27, 34 through 40. Did you ever hear somebody say, you know, I can't even stand to look at them? Or maybe you have said that. I don't want to even be in the same room. I can't stand to look at them. So often I've found in life that the very ones we can't stand to look at, the reason we can't stand to look at them, they remind us of us. And we're seeing a reflection through that to us. Maybe God's trying to send us a little message there. But Larry, the very one you say you can't stand to look at, believes like you believe. I don't care. Still don't like him. That's us. That's the human nature. Listen, confront the difficulty. Acts 27, 34 through 40. Now, I urge you to take some food. This is Paul telling them what to do. You need it to survive. Common sense. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. I'd have worried about that one. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors of life, get it? They left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. This ship was meant to sail. They headed for the beach. They headed for that beach for safety. How would they have known that that beach would have spared their lives had not a man of God been on the ship to tell them? It was full of Roman soldiers, criminals, and others. But one Christian said, this is what you do. Claim God's promise is the last. Acts 27, 22 through 25. But now I urge you, again, Paul's still telling them, keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. God wanted them to see, here's destruction, and you don't have to be a part of it. Last night, Paul says, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Oh, my goodness. One man of God saved 275 lives because he was practicing his relationship with Jesus Christ. and God blessed him. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Well, let me tell you where they landed, where the ship went in. Because I was on Liberty. I was on a Mediterranean cruise with the Marine Corps and went on Liberty in the island of Malta. We circled Cyprus, ready to go in and fight. The Crete was there, but in Malta, they hit that. And you know, don't you look back and think, boy, I wished then I knew what I know now to have appreciated where I was. But as it landed on Malta, something happened more. The man of God and all on the ship were saved. And after they were saved, Paul and the others started carrying wood to build a fire. Now, during the process of him carrying the wood, and the islanders were very nice to them, but he was carrying the wood, and one of the most dangerous, venomous snake that was there latched hold of Paul. Now, Paul then showed us exactly what to do with a snake, and it wasn't to handle it, okay, or worship it. Paul walks over to the fire, shakes his arm, and shakes the snake into the fire. But all the islanders said, he must be an evil man, a murderer, because the venomous snake has bitten him. And then, as they're watching on, Paul wasn't swelling up. He was walking around doing fine, talking, preaching. Then the islanders say, he must be a god. You see, those are the two extremes that we're dealing with in our generation. You and I are Christians. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ says, okay, you're mine. The point of that is the venom of the world should never stop us from telling the story of who Jesus is. You're going to be bitten by many two-legged snakes in your life. And they're going to grab hold and wanting to pull from you the very spirit God has given you. Paul went to Rome. And during his stay in Rome, many were saved. Can you imagine people coming from all over to hear a criminal condemned to death tell them a story about how they can have life eternal? Now, folks, that's a message direct from God to the heart of each of us. And frankly, it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you, dear Lord God, for talking to us through our spirit, for you always being with us, dear Lord God, and making a difference within our life, even when we don't recognize it. Give us strength now, Father, as we make commitments to you, as we dedicate our heart, dedicate our life, dear Lord God, to your love, and that we walk in this world through your love. Touch each heart, all those who are listening. Bless their life. Bless their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.